In the name of the Holy Trinity, one God. Amen. If you haven't already, it's time to take down your Christmas decorations. Today is the presentation of the Lord in the temple, the official end of the Nativity season. From here on out, in the church year, Jesus is no longer a baby. Luke points us onward to Jesus' adult life and ministry with the words, "The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him." But today, 40 days after Jesus' birth, we enter into the intimate story of Jesus' parents, obedient to the Jewish law, bringing their baby to the temple to present him to God, to redeem him. We see Mary in this story giving her sweet baby trustingly into the arms of the old man Simeon. We hear Simeon, near the end of his life, say the words of his own dismissal as he gazes upon this child just beginning his life. God had promised Simeon he would see this day. He would see the Messiah before he died in the flesh. And now Simeon could die in peace. In this scene, we also feel, we feel both the comforting words of Simeon that he has, that this child will be a light of revelation to the Gentiles, that's us, and to the glory of your people, Israel. And then we also hear the piercing words he has. This child is destined for the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that we will be opposed, so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too. Jesus is to be both light and truth. The presentation of our Lord in the temple takes place 40 days after Jesus' birth, and this happens to be February 2nd, the midpoint of winter. The sun is halfway on its advance from the winter solstice to the spring equinox. An old tradition of the church calls this day Candlemas, celebrating the day of presentation as a turn towards spring, bringing more light into the world. Christ is the light of the nations. Therefore, the church used this day to bless candles so that the people could ride out the rest of the winter and had their light. And all this turned into a celebration and a procession of candles. The darkness of winter turning toward light, hope for the spring, warmer weather, longer days, all of these things became entangled. As you can see in this old traditional Candlemas saying, "If Candlemas day be fair and bright, winter will have another fight. If Candlemas day brings clouds and rain, winter won't come again." If this sounds familiar, probably you've guessed by now, our own Groundhog Day has its roots in the ancient Christian tradition of Candlemas. Sure, Mary and Joseph's trek all the way from Galilee to the temple in Jerusalem seems a long, long way to Punxsutawney, Philadelphia. But that's where we are, folks, the great festival of Groundhog Day. I'll have to admit, I'm not a great follower of this day. I mostly forget about poor Punxsutawney Phil, the groundhog, having to perform for thousands of people out there in the cold of winter. But I am an enthusiastic fan of the movie Groundhog Day. I hope you've seen this film with Bill Murray and Andy McDowell. It's old, but it's very entertaining and funny. It's a love story, and Groundhog Day is packed with existentialism and theology and hope. The film tells the story of Phil Connors. He's a self-centered, egotistical, cynical TV reporter, somebody you'd love to hate. Phil has to go to Punxsutawney to shoot the coming of the stupid groundhog who shares his name, or so he says. Phil is a miserable person, and he generously shares his misery with all those around him. Phil cannot wait to get this whole thing over with in the movie and leave town. But as luck would have it, and through a clever series of events, Phil ends up having to stay in this town through eternity, or almost. Phil has to live with the same people and the same events every single day. He wakes up to the same song on the clock radio, Sonny and Cher's, I Got You, Babe. He has to live with his same old self day after day. He becomes so fed up with this life that one morning, before the camera, he shouts, you want a prediction about the weather? You're asking the wrong Phil. I'm going to give you a prediction about this winter. It's going to be cold, it's going to be dark, and it's going to last for the rest of your lives. Thinking nothing will ever matter again, Phil kind of goes wild. He paints the town, exhausting all the pleasurable opportunities in Punxsutawney. Then, after day upon day of monotonous living, Phil begins to experience the people around him as living beings, each with their own troubles, their own gifts, and their own joys. Through all of this, what we, the viewers, get to see is this man's transformation from a pessimistic jerk to a compassionate helpmate. The transforming poetic Phil says on his 100th Groundhog Day to his television viewers, winter, slumbering in the open air, wears on its smiling face a dream of spring. We can see this transformation as he's using poetry now, but we wonder what has created this change in Phil. Well, he finds that every other iteration, every path he's tried, from self-indulgence to suicide, leaves him back with the same old, unlovable, and pathetic self. Phil begins to believe life is pointless and that he is worthless, and still he cannot escape. It's only when Phil learns to love that he begins to change. The movie's heroine is a woman named Rita. She detests Phil at first. Who wouldn't? But as she watches Phil caring for others and sincerely going the extra mile, she can eventually return Phil's love, not because Phil's transformation has made him perfect. It's made him human. We could even, each of us, pretty easily, after watching this movie, write a moral of the story, moral of Groundhog Day. I think we should do this one night in popcorn theology. One moral I'd propose is this. No person is an island. We are tied together by God. The idea behind this comes from a devotion written a long time ago by a man named John Donne. He was an Anglican clergyman in the 1500s. This is what he wrote. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in mankind, and therefore never sin to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. I'm sure you've heard that poem before. And as Phil in the story reminded me, this poem rings with truth. We are all tied one to another. Phil finds out that he is not an island. We're not out there each fending for himself or herself. We are here on earth, together, as members of the human race. We are made by God into families, into communities that help shape us into who we are. And when that goes awry, as sometimes it will, because we're human and we're not perfect, compassionate people pick up the slack, caring enough to put aside their own stuff and to reach out. This past week here in Scottsboro, we've learned this lesson once again as the tragedy of last Sunday night unfolded for us And we learned that 8 people died in the devastating fire, and 8 people survived. On Wednesday afternoon, I attended a prayer service at Jackson County Park with some other community members and pastors, along with some of the survivors and family members. Together, we lamented the loss of precious lives. We lifted up our sorrows to God, and we held one another. The sharing of stories, as hard as they were to hear, gave human voices and faces to the victims, and relieved, if only for a little bit, the burdens carried by those who could do nothing to save them. The sharing of our resources offered another kind of relief, but just as necessary, to begin living again. This experience on Wednesday brought to mind John Donne's poem, "Any man's death diminishes me because I am involved in humanity." The converse is also true. Any person's life-giving love, their support, their gifts, their prayers, strengthens us all because we are all members of the same family, the family of God. There's an exceptional theologian of our day, too. His name is Frederick Buechner. I have no idea if Buechner has seen Bill Murray in Groundhog Day, but I have to believe if he did, he'd love the message of hope. In the 1980s, Buechner wrote a book called The Hungering Dark. It's about how the hope of God comes back into this world. And in it, there's a quote that encapsulates the message that I hope we can take with us today. "The life I touch for good or ill will touch another life, and in turn, another, until who knows where the trembling stops or in what far place my touch will be felt." The point is to touch, to love generously, and see how not only we are transformed by God in the process, but so too is our world. Thanks be to God.